week. Appreciate that. And you almost gave me something to talk about because you're always so faithful about being here. I was getting a little worried about using you as an example. But and I did not mark what page in your workbook, but it's lesson 9. I'm sure you all found it. Before we do the scripture, I thought you might want to turn to Matthew chapter 25. It's a little longer. And so if you'd like to, I'll read it, but if you'd like to follow along when we get there, Matthew 25, verses 14, 21, it's listed as part of your text there. But faithfulness, I think I'm more relaxed maybe, although being out of it, I'm sure I'm fumbling around, but For adult Sunday school, it's kind of like on faithfulness, I'm preaching to the choir, amen? You wouldn't be here if you weren't faithful. So I felt like this is going to be more of a good, fun message because you can all say, hey, I'm faithful, what are you preaching to me about? You know, so not always the case on some of the other topics, but I appreciate your faithfulness for showing up for sure. And the important thing is God appreciates it, and we're going to be looking at that. So if you'd like to stand for reading the God's Word, we will first do the Galatians 5 verse, and then I will read Hebrews 10:23 through 25, and then Matthew. So a little longer, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness. Well, I forgot faith, gentleness, goodness, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. So I'm going to do it word perfect here by in 2 more weeks. I thought I had it this time, but anyway, the fruit of the Spirit. It's been I've enjoyed the series, and it's just part of the whole theme this year, so it's good. Hebrews 10:23. Let me read that to you, and then we'll look at the Matthew verse. But Hebrews 10:23 says, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering." For he is faithful that promised. For he is faithful that promised. So, very good message for us this morning. And then, if you want to follow along in the Matthew passage there on 25, verse 14, it says, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained the other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." Let's pray. Father God, we do thank you again for these lessons on the fruit of the Spirit. Lord, today we thank you for your example of faithfulness, one that we can learn from and draw from. Help us, Lord, to just understand the opportunities to serve you do not necessarily come in forms of notoriety, but in faithfulness. Lord, that we can just accept the truth that you are faithful, and therefore that we can also be faithful. So help us, Lord, to exemplify that in our lives, wherever we might be, at work, at family, in the church, and in our stewardship. So we ask a blessing on this time. Thank you, Lord, for each one that came. Help me to get out of your way, that your word might go forth. In Jesus' precious name, amen. All right, you may be seated. So most of you, I'm sure all of you here are familiar with the the story. You might not remember what happened on this date when I read it, July 29th, 1981. But it was one of the most highly publicized and glamorous weddings in history that was celebrated. Britain's Prince Charles wed Lady Diana. There was a worldwide audience of over 750 million people, and 2,500 people crowded into the Grand Church, where over 21 cameras were set up to record this exciting event. Their wedding was a modern fairy tale. A royal prince marries a lovely commoner in front of thousands of adoring subjects. They were the envy of the world. Rich, young, handsome, beautiful people said that theirs was a marriage made in heaven. Sadly, their happiness was short-lived. The fairy tale soon became a nightmare of affairs and unfaithfulness. There seems to be a short supply of faithfulness in our world today. You know, I'll probably say amen to that. We see that a lot. In the corporate world, men and women are constantly looking for bigger and better, more money, more recognition. In the 21st century, most marriages are ending in divorce because couples don't want to commitment. They don't want to be tied down to one person. You know, the news and the tabloids or whatever, just filled with that kind of stuff. And in fact, last night, Farouk shared a friend he's been witnessing to, and he actually came to prayer one night with him. Just decided his goal is to make more money. He just wants to be rich. I guess he makes good money with whatever skill he has, but he just wants more and more, and he changes jobs all the time, and he just won't be faithful to not only a job but to God because his whole pursuit is money. And, you know, we just prayed how sad that was and how, but that's the world we live in today. In the book of Galatians, the word faith is used in three different contexts. In chapter 1, it speaks about the faith as a reference to the Christian gospel. You know, keep the faith. In chapter 3, it talks about faith for salvation. You know, it's not by works, but by faith that we believe in God. So there's that context. And then in chapter 5, where it's listed as a fruit of the Spirit, it means faithfulness in doing our Christian duties. So the three different areas of faithfulness. And it kind of makes sense. Faith should produce faithfulness. Think, well, if we have faith, we ought to produce faithfulness. And say, well, that's pretty simple there, Elder. What the heck? And the fact that I am rooted in Christ should enable me to bring forth the fruit of faithfulness. The Holy Spirit of God is the resource that gives me the nutrients and the strength to make this fruit evident in my everyday life. You know, that's He gives us that. The Holy Spirit gives us that fruit of faith in order to live faithfully. The Holy Spirit made the difference for Jesus' disciples in the area of faithfulness. As you'll recall, when the Lord needed his followers the most as he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, they were without faith. Then came the day of Pentecost. Believers were filled with the Holy Spirit. These same men became faithful witnesses and ultimately died martyrs' death. So pretty incredible when you think of the great change. And, you know, we refer to that often, but to really meditate on. They went from running scared and hiding to being bold and standing up to whatever pressure was brought. And the difference was when, you know, Christ left, but left them, the Holy Spirit, to fill them and strengthen them. They availed themselves of that. Many of the early missionaries exhibited great faithfulness. William Carey, a missionary to India, saw very few converts during his many years of service. He wrote to a friend, quote, "Pray for us that we may be faithful to the end," unquote. It seems that every great servant of God has been a faithful servant. And again, we just talked about that. You know, some of those prophets, didn't get many rewards when they were first prophesying in the Old Testament. You know, they nothing but trouble and persecution and all, but what? They remained faithful to God's word and stayed the course. When we enter into the family of God, we become his children. As his children, we have an opportunity to serve our Heavenly Father. Service does not always come in the form of notoriety, nor does it always come with ease. The Lord, in his omniscience, knew we would need the precious fruit of faithfulness. The disciples had it, and so did the great men of God like William Carey. For us to bear this fruit, we must learn about the three areas that can be produced in our hearts. We'll first look at the example of faithfulness. Through the ultimate example, we will know how to imitate faithfulness. Second, we will study the exhortation to faithfulness. We will search the scriptures and find how God wants us to be faithful. And last, we will examine faithfulness in our own lives. These areas of faithfulness are important to understand if we're going to remain loyal and true to God on his journey of life. So, Roman numeral 1 is the example in faithfulness. Example. Now, if your dream was to become an NBA basketball player, playing for one of the best teams in America, you would need to rely on more than just your talent and natural ability. Once you begin your journey to the NBA, you would soon realize how many great ball players there are and how far you would need to go. I don't know if any of you were sporting. I could apply to almost any sport. You know, it narrows way down when you think of the millions of kids, you know, that participate in sports. And by the time you get to the final 200 or whatever it is, you go through a lot of really good players. Well, so you'd most likely find yourself watching a few of the MVP players and learning what it was that brought them down to the road of success. And you read often of, you know, one of the mega stars mentoring another one, or them, the young ones, learning from those. And that's, you know, if you want to become the best, you what? You copy the best and try to learn from them. They realize that others have worked at certain areas and drilled certain skills to elevate their level of greatness. They watch the best because their goal is to be the best. Well, if our dream is to become Christ-like, we need to rely on something other than our own abilities. We can try hard too, but it's obvious we need to copy the master of being Christ-like. So, for us to be consistently faithful in Christ-likeness, we must imitate the best. We need to watch and learn from the one who has achieved greatness and perfection in the skill of faithfulness. Just like a rising NBA player would learn from the skills of professional basketball players, the one from whom we must learn is God. He is the ultimate and perfect example of how to exemplify faithfulness in every manner of life. So, letter A, God is faithful. God is faithful. Hebrews 10:23, it's not in your book, but it's very instructive. It says, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering." Without wavering. "For he is faithful that promised." So, you know, we are to practice faithfulness. We're instructed to do that because he is faithful. You know, a true story of a small church in Scotland. One day, the deacons and church members approached their elderly pastor, chiding him for the lack of church growth. They couldn't believe only one person had joined the church in the span of a year, and it was just a boy. The preacher walked away with a heavy heart and a will to resign. In his heart, he knew he had done all he could, but the feeling of failure began to get the best of him. The small boy met up with the preacher and boldly asked him one day if he could become a preacher or a missionary. The preacher felt the Holy Spirit's comfort as he began to see God's divine plan unfolding. He looked down at the boy and told him what a great preacher he would make. Years later, an aged missionary returned to London from Africa. His name was known throughout the entire land. Nobles asked for his presence, and many flocked to wherever he was. His name was Robert Moffat. He was a missionary in Africa, bringing lost souls to Christ, even some of Africa's most savage chiefs. This man was the same boy who years before had asked the pastor in a small Scotland church if he could be a preacher one day. The pastor's faithfulness saw fruit in the life of Robert Moffat, who also saw fruit in his oldest daughter, Mary, who became the wife of David Livingstone. You know, and we shared before about, you know, the apple and the apple seed. And just, you know, get one seed planted, who knows how many apples in the next generation, let alone the third or fourth generation. And just to have that fruit of faithfulness and being able to do that. God is faithful to all of his children, even to an elderly preacher who gave his life for one convert. There in your book, Deuteronomy 7:9 says, "Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. Wow. Tremendous promise to us. God is faithful during times of temptation and trials. I know I've been encouraged by 1 Corinthians 10:13 there in your book. There hath no temptation taken you but such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above what ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. God will never try me above that which I am able, and he is always faithful to bear the weight of my burdens." I wish I could say I was always successful, again at that, you know, but I have failed. I'm sure most of you probably have too. But it's not that there wasn't a way out. And when this verse comes to mind, it certainly helps that. Just going, yeah, God wants us to be strong, and the Holy Spirit will give us the power to avoid that stuff, you know. But sometimes we make poor choices. But it's not his fault, because it definitely, there are ways out that he provides. I heard about a mother and her 4-year-old daughter who were preparing to retire for the night. The child was afraid of the dark, and the mother, who was alone with her child, felt fearful also. When the light was turned off, the child caught a glimpse of the moon outside the window. "Mother," she asked, "is the moon God's light?" "Why, yes, it is," said the mother. "Will God put out his light and go to sleep?" the girl asked. The mother replied, "No, honey, God never goes to sleep." Then out of a childlike faith, the little girl said, "Well, as long as God is up, there's no sense in both of us staying awake." I like that. You know, let God, that's given God your problems. Amen. He's going to watch over us, and he's faithful to do that. During times of distress, God is faithful to care for our needs. And during times of temptation, God is right there to help us gain the victory. He's always awake and alert, watching out for us, even when we sin and fall short of his righteousness. He is faithful to forgive our sins. Praise God for that. In your book, 1 John 1:9, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Wow. So even when we mess up and we don't make the right choice, he forgives us. And we can restore that relationship with him. What a blessing. So, letter B, God's word is faithful. God's faithful, which means God's word is faithful. Because God is faithful, his word is also faithful. Cultures, people, and circumstances will change, but we have an eternal word from heaven that never changes. In your book, Psalm 119:89, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." Not too much leeway in that. Forever it's settled. When you and I are faithless, or we lose faith, or we just waver in our faith, God and his word are still faithful, and they're available to us at all times. You know, I'm sure we've all felt it sometime when you just lost faith in this or that, or losing, you know, maybe even early, you might really saved. And some of that, we tend to waver on some of that when we don't get what we want, maybe even. But again, that's not his fault. It's available. We just need to restore that relationship and with his word to do that. 2 Timothy 2:13 in your book, "If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself." It's definitely not a God problem that we have with faith. A story is told of a man who met God and asked him, "What is 1,000,000 years to you?" God replied, "It's like a second." Then the man asked, "What is $10 million to you?" And God answered, "It's like a dime." "Well then," the man continued, "can I borrow a dime?" God said, "Just a second." So, Oh, wait just a second, I'll give you that. So I like that. Sometimes people lose faith when they don't get instantaneous answers from God. They want answers for a quick fix right away. We'd all like to see that right away, amen? But they, you know, you don't want to become disillusioned and question God's faithfulness because of his silence. Remember that God's delays are not God's denials. Although you may feel like you're in a waiting mode, God is still faithfully working in your life. And that's just one of those truths that sometimes can be hard, but we need to accept it, that God is working. We might not see or understand what or why, but we can have faith that he is, that he really is working. When you sit down to read God's word, don't be discouraged if you can't find answers radiating from the pages. And God's perfect timing, he will grow us through his word, giving us the truths we need day by day. His word will be our faithful companion if we allow it to be. I know that's certainly, you know, even some sermons or reading, all of a sudden you'll, oh, I never saw that in there before. Or that's a new truth. Maybe we just weren't ready for that bit of truth years ago. Now all of a sudden we are, as we grow and we learn just more and more what he's talking about. And it's a wonderful thing to be growing in God. Some of that, Roman numeral 2, exhortation to be faithful. Exhortation to be faithful. Another good verse that's not in your book, it says, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. It's required of man to be found faithful, to be a steward. And I thought about that. I thought, you know, one of the first things that I would tend to look for as an employer or as somebody in charge of money would be honesty. And so I thought, yeah, and it's kind of weird in a way that we don't talk too much about honesty. In fact, I might do a whole sermon on it when I started thinking about it. Because I looked, and it's obviously honesty can be an offshoot, I think, of faithfulness and of the fruit. And it's something we ought to exhibit. But the word honesty is only used 11 times in the New Testament. Not at all in the Old. But the Old Testament doesn't use honesty. It uses integrity. And it's used 16 times. So, I mean, it's obviously in there 27 times in the Bible, honesty or integrity. Faith, though, or faithfulness is mentioned 336 times. Almost 12 and a half times as many mentions as faith as to honesty. And I don't know why, but in my mind, I guess I just tied that together. That, you know, for faith, it's just one of those, honesty's ought to be kind of a byproduct, if you will. Of being faithful and being rooted in God. So, you all might recognize this picture. Anybody been there in person? Know what that is? Okay, several hands. Yellowstone National Park is a tourist attraction for the geyser named Old Faithful. That's a picture of Old Faithful. This geyser was named because of its predictability and punctuality. At regular intervals, the geyser projects a curtain of scalding water anywhere from 20 to 75 feet in the air. Tourists do not travel from all around the world to see a geyser called Old Unreliable. You know? It's okay, but it's not. I remember kind of being disappointed that the setting is actually kind of ugly in a way compared to the beautiful surroundings there. I don't know if any of you other experience. I mean, it's cool, but you go there to see what? You see Old Faithful erupting. That's 20 times a day, approximately 72 minutes on average. It erupts, and it's been doing, since they discovered it in 1890, it's over a million times it's done that. Kind of hard to imagine something being that reliable, you know, and the times will differ, the height differs, but you know if you're going to stay there 90 minutes, you're going to see Old Faithful erupt, and that's why people come from all over the world to see Old Faithful. Made me think, I hope you don't have a boss or a spouse that you can call Old Faithful because they erupt every 90 minutes. Sorry, I just had to throw that out there. But, you know, I might have to refer to your boss sometime. Hey, you're Old Faithful. Don't tell them I told you that. All right. So, what has made Old Faithful a tourism spot? It's the breathtaking beauty or amazing performance? No. This geyser is known in praise for its dependability. Similarly, God does not demand your talents, abilities, or opportunities. He just wants us to be faithful. His one universal requirement for Christians is faithfulness. We believe by faith, and that, and it's required, and that's the one requirement he has for everybody. I believe there are four areas in which you as a Christian should seek to be faithful. Letter A, faithful to your workplace. Faithful to your workplace with the aforementioned boss there. Colossians 3:23 there in your book. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. And I know I've used that a lot. You know, you just do things for God. You know, no matter any accolades or criticisms or what they might, as long as you're doing it for God, you can be at peace. A Christian who is filled with the Holy Spirit will exhibit a faithful work ethic. A recent survey found that each day across the United States, 50,000 people quit their jobs, and nearly 85% said that they could work harder on the job. The way a person works defines how they are seen in the eyes of others. If people cannot stay faithful to working a 40-hour week, what does this tell others about their testimony? And I'm sure we've all talked about the slacker, you know, at our work or in the offices or, you know, where we might. Pretty easy to recognize them after a while, you know, and it's unfortunate. God wants us, especially unfortunate, if they're, say, they're Christians, amen. That's just one of those things we've got to be better at, Christians, to be faithful and to show that in our work. God wants us to be faithful in our work ethic, even when nobody is watching. This is applying true faithfulness. Letter B is faithful to your family. Second, you should be faithful to your family. In your book, Ephesians 5, 25 and 6, says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Spirit-filled Christians will be faithful to their spouses. They will press onward and upward in their spiritual growth as a family. An example of two frogs fell into a tub of cream. The one frog looked at the high sides of the tub, which were too difficult to crawl over, and said, it's hopeless. So he resigned himself to death, relaxed, and sank to the tub's bottom. The other frog was determined to keep swimming as long as possible. Something might happen, he said. He kept kicking and churning, and finally he found himself on a solid platform of butter. He jumped out to safety. He just kept kicking away until he made butter out of that cream. I like that story. There are days when all you can do is keep treading. Just keep pumping along. Christopher Columbus wrote this phrase many times in his journal. You can imagine the journal he kept. Sometimes, and several times his entry was, today we sailed on. And I had to look it up, because I certainly didn't remember if I ever knew. But that he was, they were at sea for over 2 months, almost 10 weeks. And so a lot of that time, I got to sail home from Australia. It was, I can't remember how many long, it was like a week. And about four of those days was nothing but water. And I tell you, it's kind of a freaky thing when you're out there and, you know, sometimes you're not even sure you're moving, you know, and you're just seeing nothing but water for days and days. And so today we sailed on. And that's the thing. That's just being true to the goal. Not every day will bring monumental victories. But if you will keep on treading or sailing on, God will be faithful to you. Letter C, faithful in your stewardship. In your stewardship. You should be faithful in your stewardship. The Bible says there in your book, Luke 16:10 through 12, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, or money, who will commit your trust to the true riches? And if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? Your faithfulness and stewardship is a reflection of your faithfulness in spiritual matters. We ought to reflect Christ's faithfulness in our stewardship. Letter D, where you all get an A+, faithful in your church attendance. Faithful in your church attendance. You should be faithful in your church attendance. One person said, I don't know why some people change churches. What difference does it make which one you stay away from? Go, wow. The Bible contradicts this attitude. There in your book, Hebrews 10:25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more, as you see the day approaching. And that sounds kind of humorous, but can't tell how many doors we knocked on, and people say, well, yeah, I go to church. Oh, where do you go? Well, you know, it's just down the street and around the corner, you know. And you know right then, it's a church they stay away from. And, you know, so I hope that isn't our church. Amen? All right. You may be feeling overwhelmed by these requirements of faithfulness. Let me encourage you with this thought. God never requires something of you that he does not enable you to accomplish. God's calling is always accompanied by God's enabling. Sometimes we just need to hook onto that. Hook our wagon to God and the Holy Spirit as he enables us to do things. As you are filled with the Holy Spirit, God will give you the desire to be faithful, and he will produce that disposition in your life. He shares a story, and you'll see military men, right, in the airport, and you're going through, maybe they're coming home, maybe they're leaving, and, you know, not as often as I'd like, but sometimes I just thank them for their service, you know, it's good, and I knew there used to be some sign you could make or whatever, but, you know, and you think, you know, because we are thankful, amen, I'm sure this group, you know, for people that serve in our military in these dangerous times especially, to just say thank you. Well, when you think about it, one day our battle on earth will be over, you know. And we do have battles, even in our own lives. But when you reach home to heaven, we want to hear our master say, well done, thou good and faithful servants. So, Roman numeral 3, the examination of faithfulness. Okay. There in your book, 1 Corinthians 4, 2 through 5. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not my own self, for I know nothing by myself. Yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judges me is the Lord. You know, stop there. There are a couple of things, right, you know, that we should not worry about what other men or people think of us. You know, you don't let Deacon Don or Elder Don or Treasurer Don judge me for your giving. That is not my job, and I definitely don't feel like I do that. But God is watching us, and God knows, and that's who we ultimately hear from and deal with. So, but he says, I don't judge my own self, for I know nothing by myself. Continues, therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts. And then shall every man have praise of God. Wow. You know, and it's kind of exciting that, you know, the praise, and I thought about that. How is that possible if he's, you know, if we're doing all these things or not doing the thing? But he's forgiven all our sins. He forgets about them. And that's what a beautiful verse that, you know, maybe some of us will have a longer list of things to get praise from. But because he's forgotten all our sins, you know, at least he can look at us and we'll have the praise of God just for getting to heaven to praise God. Just to have that faithfulness, you know, I hope we all add to that list of, other than just the faith to receive his gift. But at least we have that. So that's an exciting thing. And later, letter A, we all have different opportunities. We have different opportunities. Many people have to meet certain criteria for their occupations. Students have to take exams over the required material. Pastor Chappell had a friend in college who was certain that one of their professors never read his required term papers. Therefore, instead of writing on Old Testament history, he filled 7 pages with paragraphs on his dog, the clouds, and other irrelevant information. He found out very quickly that the professor did indeed examine his requirements thoroughly. His grade was a reflection of his apathy and lack of preparation. Well, one day God will examine you and me for our faithfulness. Why would he require something of us and then fail to take notice? So, you know, he is noticing, and I don't know if we'll give answer or not, or it's just the list of rewards we get. You know, don't want to get into all the theology of that. But we need to know God knows and God sees everything that's going on. In that 1 Corinthians 4 verse, Paul says that he judgeth me, he that judgeth me is the Lord. This phrase is in the present tense, and it implies a constant divine scrutiny. So while we are here and called to be faithful, that's when he's judging us, and we'll get ourselves in trouble. You know, there are consequences. The next verse says, therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and make manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then shall every man have praise of God. God knows every missed opportunity, blunder, and disobedience, as well as our obedience and faithfulness to him. One day you and I will be judged according to our faithfulness as his stewards. You know, if it's just which line we get in for our crowns or whatever it might be. So before you begin to feel discouraged, remember that God has given each person different opportunities. Let's look at the parable of the talents in Matthew 25:14-21 that we stood for earlier. It says again, for the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto him his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability. And straightway took his journey. So they had different abilities, different talents, and that's what, so God gave them accordingly. Then he that receiveth the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with him. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. In this story, one servant squanders his talent and displeases his master. But the other 2 servants double their talents and are justly rewarded. This parable teaches that unequal gifts, if used with equal faithfulness, will be equally rewarded. You need to get double. And I also thought, just kind of meditating on that, that, you know, the third, I think, made it more about works. You notice he was worried about displeasing his master. He made it about, you know, about himself. And not the other. It doesn't say the others, fearing the master, went out and doubled it. They just were just faithful and did what they normally, I think, do, you know, according to their ability, and they doubled their take. But the one that was more about the works was in trouble. I found a real relation to the world today and some of the religions that, you know, work your way to heaven. And that's just not what it's about. Because then there's fear and things you do. That's not what he's interested in. He's interested in our faithfulness and going about his business. Many theologians and scholars believe that Jesus Christ was referring to himself in this parable. He left his disciples on earth with an opportunity to serve him, knowing that someday he would return to hold them accountable. Likewise, people who are living to please the Lord have excitement and joy, and those who are squandering their opportunities are often sad and dissatisfied. And I think that comes with some discomfort when we know we're not doing and following God like we should. And it's just, you know, how often do we say you got to take your eyes off yourself and put them on others? You know, and just be about his and exhibiting his fruit of the Spirit, not looking at our own things. Letter B, we will be examined according to our faithfulness. According to our faithfulness. Verse 19 of that parable says, after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. The word reckon means to hold accountable. Just as the master reckoned his servants, every Christian will be examined according to his faithfulness. Be made ruler over much is the goal. Christians are not called to be successful. They are called to be faithful. I think that's a very, very important distinction. You know, it's because of different abilities or whatever, we would judge success. That's not God. He just wants us, we can be successful in God's eyes by being faithful and just doing what he asks us to do. In this success-oriented society, we must realize that there will be people with very few materialistic goods who will be at the front of the receiving line for heavenly rewards. And I like that. I just think that's so true. Some people, you know, people ahead of us in line will go, how'd they get there? You know, we didn't even notice them. And I thought, you know what? I thought that just even teaching class, you know, you're up front and, you know, and there's certain notoriety that I don't care for, but, you know, that comes with that. And yet, how many of you would come back if the toilets were always clogged and there was stuff on the walls and the carpets are filthy and, you know, and it's kind of like, you know, it's some of that unsung stuff and the people that aren't noticed that make the rest of us comfortable. You can come listen to some old man babble on about stuff. So, but it's just so true. It's just so true that, you know, there's going to be people we may not have even noticed, sadly, that are going to get great rewards because of their faithfulness. In your book, Revelation 2:10 says, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Wow. Now, that's kind of a scary thought, and it's one that might be coming, folks. You know, if we if he tarries much longer, being thrown in prison like some of the other countries going on now or back in the disciples' day is not out of the question. It's acceptable nowadays throughout the world to do that type. We need to just determine now to be faithful, no matter what. So in conclusion, the parable of the talents concludes with this verse. The Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Jesus Christ, who is the greatest example of faithfulness, gave us the exhortation to faithfully serve him while we're here on earth. Someday our faithfulness will be examined and rewarded according to our stewardship. What will the Master say to us, dear Christian? Will he say, well done, thou good and faithful servant? If that is what we want to hear, then we need to purpose to serve God faithfully in the opportunities he has given us and expect our faith to be rewarded one day in heaven. Let's pray. Father God, we do thank you again for your word, and especially as we look at the fruit of the Holy Spirit. We thank you for that fruit. Lord, I do pray that you would just strengthen us, enable us to learn more and become more like you so that we exhibit this fruit in our lives. We thank you, each one that exhibited the faith to believe in you. I pray that you would just help strengthen that faith to follow you and serve you with all our heart as we continue to grow in you and learn more and more about you as our personal witness to the world and to others, no matter our situation. So, Father, bless this time. We pray for the service to come and the pastor's message. Prepare hearts to be fertile soil for your word. And as we get to partake in watching another baptism, just the excitement of that, and we give you great praise and glory and thanks for that. And all this we do in Jesus' precious, wonderful, and mighty name. Amen.